Thanks for having me. I should be wrap up early, so maybe you can catch some of the other tracks. As she mentioned, I work at Visa. I joined about 4 years ago, and I had come from a background of automated digital measurement. I came from Yahoo agency and a startup where we all automated our digital marketing measurement and analytics. But when I got to Visa, everything was being done manually in spreadsheets by analysts. So this is kind of my journey through how we automated measurement at Visa. And stop me if you have questions. We can keep this pretty informal. So how Visa tracks daily performance of its largest campaigns. This is specifically about two of our largest campaigns to date. But we have automated measurement through all of our products and sponsorship properties. But we here focus on the Olympics and our launch of Visa Checkout. And you can catch me at Mediametric Scale on Twitter. So what happened today? It's a pretty simple question. It's a powerful question, but actually very few in marketing can answer this question effectively. And really that's because marketing has become a complex, rapidly changing, noisy daily battle. We also thought marketing was supposed to be pretty easy to measure. As we think about all the different tools out there, better targeting, more precise measurement, fine-grained controls, it was supposed to become really measurable, really precise, and really easy. However, I think if you're in the room, you probably know that that's not really true. Reality is that the explosion of new channels and platforms and apps, devices, data, coupled with the velocity of change, has made cutting through the noise almost impossible. We're seeing a huge gap between brands and businesses of all sizes, between the volume of data that's being generated and the amount of insights that's actually being found and actioned upon. And today, most of our marketing analysts are spent wrangling the data. I know this was true at Visa. We have analysts all across the globe, and most of their time was spent downloading data from different platforms, putting it into Excel spreadsheets, organizing the Excel spreadsheets, standardizing the Excel spreadsheets, and then building charts for us to then put into PowerPoint, and then we would get into a meeting and talk about the data. It seems a bit ridiculous. And it's really just creating this massive loss of opportunity and efficiency. So why is this happening? The digital innovation in marketing is just created this explosion of media and channels, platforms and systems. You can see here, and this isn't even everything, all the things that we have to cover. We gotta, you know, figure out how to organize all of this into some sort of measurable and readable data. And then what happens is we just get these massive streams of varying signals that you can't really operationalize across platforms. So the number and types of what I'll call signals are generated by our marketing activity is really of such volume that we can't really have analysts just organizing the data themselves. We at Visa had people moonlighting. We had analysts in India that would work while our US analysts were sleeping. I mean, we really had so much data, and we at some point just really had no idea how to even organize it together. So marketing investments, they continue to rise every year, particularly digital investments. At Visa, we have swapped over into, I believe, 70% digital, 30% television, and that's even with our huge marketing sponsorships of the Olympics, FIFA, and the NFL. There is a quality and quantity issue. CMOs find this the most important thing, or one of the most important things, with regards to data. It's a top concern of pretty much, well, 63% actually admitted it, but I would say it's a top concern of all CMOs. And then we really think that measuring engagement across paid, owned, and earned media is a strategic priority. And you can see 86% of brands say that. I would again say everybody in the measurement analytics business feels like this is a top priority. But in spite of all the spreadsheets and the agency reports, the marketing automation, the data, the warehouses, the business intelligence tools, our CRM tools, we really still cannot answer the question, what happened today? Our CMO 2 years ago, Antonio Lucio, who has now moved on to HP, he came to us and really talked to us about, you know, I want to know what's happening right now. And particularly because we have these huge sponsorships, we need to know, day two of the Olympics, how are we doing? And we really couldn't answer this question for him. And as marketers, we have this huge responsibility with regards to these sponsorships to really understand what's the value of the sponsorships to our brand, how are we activating against them, what are we doing in response to different issues that arise during these sponsorships, how can we understand where we should be putting our media placements day to day. I mean, and it differs, right? Because in the Olympics, in FIFA, less so in the NFL, you need to be understanding who is the athlete that's winning today and heavy up your media there, who's really getting the most buzz, who's done something interesting, and really shift platforms based on who and what is getting the most bang for your buck. And really our reporting for these was broken. As I mentioned before, we would take about 5 weeks in total, looking in the rearview mirror, to actually report out on these. And so when our CMO would come and ask what happened today, we really didn't have a good answer. We were measuring everything in the rearview mirror. Really, it was about kind of sitting down post-Olympics to say, how did we do and how can we optimize for the next Olympics? And if you think about how many agency hours were spent collecting this data globally, really looking into hundreds of agency hours, optimizations really couldn't be made in real time. And we couldn't tell executives right away if marketing had been successful. So this is just a small swath of the, obviously, channels that we use. And then you think about multiplying that across all of the different countries that are activating during these huge sponsorships. It really became, again, totally unmanageable. And our marketers and analysts were unhappy. They didn't want to spend their time wrangling all of this data and then trying to report out on it. They really wanted to be giving us the insights on how, you know, we really wanted to be providing the marketers insights on how we should be spending our budget. So again, this is just a small swath of the data that we were using. And it was all in PowerPoint or Excel, Tableau, numbers of free tools. I mean, it was really kind of a total mess on how and why we were measuring this data. And again, if you think about your own data processes, if you think about how long it takes for manual reporting, a reporting period is usually 2 weeks. And then you think about collecting and refining that data. Most of the time you need to standardize it across platforms. You think about analyzing and presenting it, and then at the very end, discussing how you're going to actually optimize this. We're looking at a 5 week time period between execution to adjustment. So we needed a better way. So we tried something different and put together a little tiger team, and we decided to try one of, at the time, was sort of a new automated data platform. There's a lot of them out there now. We happen to partner with Origami Logic, who is a great vendor, and I'll talk a little bit more about them. But really, we decided that we were going to try to get to automated measurement to where we needed less than a week between execution to adjustment. And that includes everything from our digital platforms to our media platforms, where our agencies are actually managing all of our spend. We really put a goal on ourselves that we wanted to be able to do real-time adjustments. So the first time that we actually put this into practice was the Rio Olympics in 2016. We had 40 plus countries activating media against the Olympics. We had, I think, over hundreds of millions of media dollars stacked against this. And it was a real success because we were able to track everything standardized across these digital, across our digital automated platform. Now, this was back in 2016, so things look a little bit different, but we were able to figure out, you know, which posts were the most successful, which athletes were the most successful for us. We were able to shift dollars in and out of countries based on who was, participating in which events. And really, truly, it was the first time that we were a huge, one successful kind of global measurement platform. So it was a huge success. Like I mentioned, 40 plus countries activating, over a billion social and digital engagements. We were the second most mentioned sponsor globally. And if you ask me, the number one thing that was made it successful was a global measurement framework. So what was next? Our largest product launch in history. So Visa doesn't rarely comes out with new products. If you think about it, it's really the issuing banks that give you new products. We were coming out with our first digital platform, though, called Visa Checkout. And it's a complex measurement framework across the globe, and we were launching with over 200 partners. So that means that we not only have to serve our internal partners with data, but we actually have to serve our external partners with data because they were investing media dollars in addition to us. So this is just a small swath of the partners we launched with, in addition to our kind of What Metrics Matter framework, which for the first time kind of looks at not just our media spend, and you know, if you think about sponsorships, it's really about brand preference and long-term brand affinity, but this was actually hardcore product metrics. We needed people to enroll and use the product. And we really needed to look at signals from every ad, every tweet, every post, every keyword, every video play, and really figure out, because this is a new area for us, we don't launch digital products that frequently, you know, what was the best media channels for us to actually convert on enrollments? And, of course, because we have partners, we needed to report out to Neiman Marcus and to the NFL and to Gymboree and to Chase and to Capital One about how all of our media and all of our digital marketing was doing together holistically. So from the CMO to the head of product to our agency partners and marketing practitioners, we really had this one single source of truth. And I can't really estimate how big this was at Visa. I mean, we had people really coming with 7 different data sets saying, well, this is actually what I see. Well, no, this is what I see. And you know, our CMO and our head of product need to be coming from the same song sheet. So really, this was a huge undertaking and extremely successful because every day, rather than needing to say, oh, how is the product doing, they would just simply log into the dashboards. And with that single source of truth, we're now able to convert these massive streams of data into actionable marketing insights. Again, this is something that our marketers log into every single day. And now for every product launch that we have, whether it be Samsung Pay or Apple Pay, whether it be our own internal, you know, new cards that are issued. So we just issued a new card with Uber and with Starbucks. And we can actually give our partners access to these dashboards so they too can see what we're seeing. And again, singing from the same song sheet. And again, it really just empowers our marketers to measure, analyze, and act in real time. So as a marketing analytics team, what our goal is to empower our marketers to make better decisions. And we want to be, rather than data wranglers, we'd rather be partners in helping them to derive insights from this data, which is what really it's moved to for our organization, is going from sort of telling them or showing them, you know, on spread or on a PowerPoint, you know, here's what we're seeing, is actually sitting with them in a room, looking at the dashboard, saying, how can we actually optimize all of our digital marketing? And really, every day we sit down and optimize our marketing results. We are constantly looking at better visuals. We even have, you know, our partners in finance and our product analytics teams logging into these dashboards and using them for their own information on how can marketing impact bottom line and product. So we think about how the results really speak for themselves. I know this may not seem like an excellent result, but for us, limited PowerPoint use for reporting internally is huge. It's so just time intensive to sit down and create a PowerPoint report for everything that you need reporting on. And so for actually using automated dashboards, it's a huge win for us and a huge time saver. And we don't need as many designers at Visa to make them look pretty for the CMO. Measurable marketing efficiencies. There is no doubt that coming with automated reporting and real-time reporting, that we're able to really see measurable efficiencies in our marketing and redeploy those dollars into new marketing platforms. You know, now we have efficiencies that we can try new things in Snapchat or WeChat or WhatsApp, really deploy those marketing funds into something new and exciting. This was a big one for us, the reallocation of analyst time to insights. Our analysts were bored. We were losing a lot of good analysts to other more exciting brands who could offer them the opportunity to derive insights from data rather than data wrangle all day long. And so since we've switched to automated measurement, we've actually had a much higher retention rate on really quality analysts, and we're able to give them the kind of career path that they would prefer, which is being a partner in, you know, marketing a better brand versus just sitting around wrangling data. Reduce costs and better alignment with agencies. So this was a big one. We had a line item in almost every agency budget for analytics. And if you think about the cost of every agency that you use coming into an analytics budget, it was creating a ton of redundancy and a huge extra budget. So with the reduction of costs from their platforms as well as their analyst time, it again was created huge cost efficiencies for us. It also opened up a conversation with our agencies about transparency. If you think about how your agencies report data to you, at least for us, it always seemed that there was a happy smiling face on all the data. There was some sort of positive spin, and in many cases, we weren't doing as well as our agencies were reporting to us. They just wanted to show us that they were doing their job. And so it took a little while for our agencies to get on board with opening and unlocking all of the data that they had. But once we did it, it opened up a really honest and transparent conversation about, you know, how the Visa brand, how they're doing their work for the Visa brand, and in the long run made our relationship much, much better. The elimination of redundant tools was a big one. We had people with Tableau subscriptions, with free tools using all around the globe. We had, you know, too many people in our Facebook platform because they were downloading the data from there. We don't need marketing analytics folks, you know, as many as we had with access to the back end of Facebook. So really plugging in all of these APIs directly into our automated dashboard reduced the need for all of those tools and for all of those people to have access to the core data structures. So what enables a solution to provide daily insights? Really thinking about what Origami Logic provided to us, and you know, we had a big conversation about whether to build or to buy, and I think that's a pretty common conversation with most data platforms. We found that you can't build this platform that they have provided, and again, there's others out there. I think Domo provides a very similar offering, Datarama as well. They harvest the data through these APIs and stay closely connected to when Facebook makes an algorithm change or an API change, which is something that needs core technologists that are assigned to those types of things. They bring in the data and then they refine it, which means they standardize it across all the platforms. We also store all of our own formulas for data into this platform so that it's standardized on the back end and all we see is the output of the formulas. They also fill in the gaps if we're missing data, historical data, and then analyzing the data. So again, kind of putting their own measurement in there, they look at trends. It looks at, you know, year-over-year analysis. It calculates all of our CPM and CPA formulas for us, so we can really look at the end data structure. And then it's up to us to activate on all of this and execute on better marketing as a result. This is busy, and I'm sorry, I really didn't have time to clean this up, but this is our marketing technology stack. There are so many things that we have to keep, you know, ahead of, and there's too many APIs to try and ask our internal technology teams to stay on top of those things, whether it be from email platforms or Google, from Datalogix, from our social listening platforms. These APIs just plug directly into our automated measurement platform, and then we can look at all of this as one holistic view. So back to the question about what happened today, and what does it really take to answer this question? What we thought about is we really need to adopt automation and scale the measurement. So doing things manually isn't really an option for anyone anymore, I would argue, but specifically for a brand like Visa, who operates in so many countries with so many products with so many platforms. We really needed to make sure our data was yielding relevant and actionable insights. So if the insight's not immediately actionable, we weren't really doing our job. So we actually had to scale back the data and decide what's most important to us, and that's kind of where our What Metrics Matter framework comes into play, so that even though we may be collecting all the data, what we're actually actioning on is really specific metrics. And then last, we really just needed to maintain an initiative to measure and optimize faster. This often comes from the top down, so our CMO was on board. I would argue that most CMOs should be on board, but we really did have support from the top. So I would say, you know, constant measurement and optimization to make use of these daily insights. You need to have a marketing team that's data-led and, you know, really support from all around the organization to follow this sort of one single source of truth. And that's it for me. I did promise that I'd end really early. I open it up to questions, yeah, for sure.
Eugene from my funny social media. I got a question regarding product placement campaigns. How do you measure that? When you not post Visa brand in Facebook or Instagram, but when you have, for example, Visa label on the t-shirt of the sportsman, how do you measure this kind of product placement? Because we started our campaigns with Honda, with Levi's, but we still have not so many measurement and coefficients. How do you measure this kind of campaigns when you cannot transfer the traffic of the users directly to Visa web page?
Sure, that's a great question, and one that's very top of mind for us. We just started a large cross-border campaign. Visa makes a lot of revenue from people traveling and using their cards overseas. And in order to do that, we need to do a lot of out-of-home and airport out-of-home. And so you can't really measure how many people. I mean, you have some idea about how many people are walking through an airport on any given day, but you really don't have good metrics. And so in order for us to actually show that we're getting some sort of brand affinity, we actually do intercepts, research intercepts. So we have our researchers stand in these places and ask questions like, you know, seeing this, are you more likely to use your Visa card? So it's Visa intent to use. Do you have a different feeling or emotion after seeing this type of ad? If you're talking about a t-shirt, we often do stuff with point of sale. So once you see a Visa sticker on the outside of a store, are you more likely to go into that store? So it's a little time intensive and cost intensive. So for Visa, it's a little bit easier with our budgets, but that's the really only way that we can get to some sort of metric to showcase that this is actually working and that we should continue to do this kind of work. Yeah.
Just spinning off that, is it the same for your television or radio?
So that's a little bit different. I mean, you can always measure that through GRPs and, post surveys of our measurement. And the Olympics and the NFL often give us a lot, very granular metrics on who is watching at what time, and they have all those audience metrics. So it's a little bit different when we're talking about television. And radio is the same thing. I mean, we have a pretty good idea of audience numbers, so we can at least say this many people heard or were likely to hear. We've actually done some stuff in the past around listening. So there's apps people have on their phone where they can listen to, the television commercials that you're seeing. And so we actually have a little bit better idea on who is actually watching our television commercials and then what they're doing afterwards. So we can track them based on a cookie. Did they visit our website? Did they go do the thing that we wanted them to do?
So you don't have any specific calls?
No, when we first launched Visa Checkout, we actually had an end card that said, go to visacheckout.com to enroll. And we just found that, it wasn't really getting. So what we use our videos for now is more education and awareness. So if we're launching a new product, we want people to know that this product is available. And we assume that if you heard the word Visa Checkout, you'd just Google Visa Checkout. So we put that money into SEM to make sure that we have the right, searches and, ads coming to the top of their searches versus using an end card to actually tell them to go somewhere. It just didn't result in anything. Anything else? I'm Jessica. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, once again, just one more question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not on the banners, not on classic product placement or leads or whatever, but they spend tons of money, that's why we started our business with those guys.
Yeah.
On product placement in the influencers like YouTubers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What about Visa? What's the current situation?
It's a great question. We use influencers a lot, and that's because we do a lot of things with travel and with cooking, with wine. We have these sponsorship verticals, and so we find that Visa doesn't really have a voice in those places, but yet if we go through Anthony Bourdain or name your favorite chef here, we actually have a lot more clout. And so while we don't use we do use Instagram influencers and Snapchat influencers because, again, we find that they know their audience and our audience a lot better than we do even. We call our audience ageless progressives, and what it usually ends up is being a younger demographic who are interested in new things. They love to travel. They are interested in trying new things. And so we find that they can actually build a much more interesting and comprehensive Instagram story or Snapchat story that involves Visa. In a way that we would want our brand involved to that specific audience. We can't build videos for every single audience out there, and so they can actually do a much better job. So we spend a lot of money in influencers. I don't know how much of our marketing budget it is right off the top of my head, but we definitely find that they are a huge benefit to our brand, and it's actually low cost when you think about paying an influencer to build a Snapchat story versus doing some high spend, you know, video production. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. We do, yeah. Yeah, we use Sprinklr as our posting tool. So everybody has to go through Sprinklr to actually post. It's kind of a complicated process because we obviously put paid media behind everything, and we actually find some of our agency tools are actually better, you know, or the Facebook native platform or any of the native platforms are better for targeting. But we do have so many controls at Visa where our legal team needs to see some of the posts before they go live, particularly around certain financial issues, that we save everything in Sprinklr, and so we put all of our content in there. We also use it for customer service, and so that way we can track with a single data label, whether it be email address or, you know, our customers throughout the journey of, are they posting, you know, on Facebook? Oh, we can track them, you know, because they reached out to customer service, and we're tracking all of these things through Sprinklr. We did at one point use their social sentiment, but we found that NetBase was a lot better at doing that kind of work, so we use NetBase now. But it's mostly as a posting tool rather than anything else. Yep. Same thing with all the platforms. Origami in particular is really tuned into, and we've worked really closely with them. You know, at first they weren't showing things like, you know, how many people were watching the video all the way through. We wanted to know who dropped off at 10 seconds and who dropped off at 20 seconds. And so they built that into the platform. It's a pretty flexible platform where if we tell them what we want to see, they can quickly bring it in. And again, that means that we have all the data together because they're not only a front-end BI tool, but they're also a back-end data aggregator. So at any point in time, we can take all of our data out of there into an Excel spreadsheet or port it into Hadoop to make sure that we own all of our data, which was really important as we got into this experience. Cool. Yes.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I have all the time in the world. It's true with kind of all of our products that programmatic and Facebook always perform the best, and that's mostly because a lot of what we're looking at is efficiency levels. We want the most number of clicks through to conversion that we can get for the lowest cost, and Facebook right-hand rails and programmatic buys are always the lowest in cost. Now, but that's when we're looking at conversion specifically. If we're talking about awareness or understanding of a product, it's usually carousel ads within Facebook or digital video. Yes. Bring it on.
What gives you more returns on investments, brand placement, or this classical advertisement in the social media?
So I'll flip your question a little bit differently. So we're always wondering, what is more beneficial to us, to talk about our products or to talk about our brand? And where do we do those things? How do we split out those conversations? Because we obviously need to, I'll use the word sell products, even though we don't really sell them. We want people to enroll in them and use them. But we also have found that when we focused on product marketing, we lost a lot of our brand affinity. And that's very important as we think about the new digital age, where you don't see Visa on your card anymore. You're using your Apple Pay in your phone, and Visa becomes the secondary brand to how you're using your product. And so we really had to make a conscious effort on splitting out our marketing to focus our social media, a lot of our social media efforts, like programmatic, like right-hand rails to sell a product, and then focus on the television commercials, our digital video, to really focus on our brand and making sure that people know that Visa empowers them, that you can live your life through Visa. And if you think about how those two work together, you actually will get people to use your product if they really feel empowered by your brand. So it was a long discussion. We really kind of make minute adjustments all the time on how to split out those marketing dollars. Granted, we're relegated to big television buys through our sponsorships, so we always have those. But, and you'll see through the Olympics, we do a little bit of both, talking about a new product while also hopefully making you feel really empowered through Visa. But yeah, it's an ongoing conversation about how to do that, but we have really set aside channels. Like, we would never advertise our just a brand through a programmatic buy because there's really no use for that. We do. We use Facebook chat a lot, and in our AP markets, we use WhatsApp and WeChat, mostly for customer service at this point, but certainly we want to get into AI for everything, and our partners use it a lot, so you know, if you have an issue with your card, your bank's going to use it to kind of help, especially if you're in another country, like figure out what's going on, and we often kind of play a role in that, because, you know, it's a combination between us and your bank on figuring out where your card was lost or how to reissue a new card overseas. But we see a lot of value in AI and really giving you a ton of opportunity to, once you download Visa Checkout, you know, pushing you offers through your Facebook Messenger to use the product right away. We know that if you're not using our product within 20 days, you're probably never going to use it. So really getting that kind of immediate action that we need taken, we find Messenger is an awesome place to do that. Okay, I'm around. So if you guys have more questions, just come and talk to me. Thank you.